This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
The testimony, some of the biggest stuff that I think a lot of us watched, paid more attention to, Wendy Adelson testifying about her mother's controlling nature and all that she couldn't remember. And then Robert coming up and describing Donna's obsession with controlling her children's lives. I mean, what's the psychological impact when the family themselves, the kids of the matriarch, are testifying against their own mother?
You know, there was certainly no testimony that Donna Adelson was like a hands-off, passive family member who just let people live and let live and whatever happens, happens. Really was the opposite of that. And when you're hearing it from the mouths of the children, these are the people who know Donna Adelson best. They've known her their whole lives. And so they've seen this play out over the course of years, and they really didn't have any significant motive to fabricate that fact to anybody. I think the jury just said, gosh, these kids are in here telling us what their mom is like, and I don't have any reason to disbelieve that.
There was a lot of testimony. There was a lot of throwing people under the bus in this trial. More than I was expecting from the enmeshed family, or the once enmeshed family of the Adelsons. Wendy being thrown under the bus several times. Harvey even a little bit. Let's start talking about these guys a little bit and what the future may hold for them. Wendy, obviously, she drove past Dan's house the day of the murder, right when it was, you know, shortly after it went on. Police are there. Then she has that TV repair man coming. Prosecutor Georgia Kappelman even made some hints during the prosecution here, but staying tuned about Wendy. There was a lot, and there was a lot that seemed to show that Wendy had some sort of knowledge. Again, this is, you know, kind of our take on it. She's innocent. She's never been charged with anything, at least as of this moment in time. What's preventing charges against Wendy at this point, if anything?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have seen the cards kind of fall one by one in this case. When you have the contract killers, you have the middle person, Catherine, you have Charlie Adelson, he's already down for the count. Now we have Donna. Who could be next? You know, Wendy's boyfriend testified that Wendy told him she was aware that Charlie was exploring all options to take care of Dan Markell, including a hitman. Mm-hmm. So she knew that gosh, her brother might hire a hitman to kill her husband. That's incriminating. And then also the talks of sort of possibly trying to frame the boyfriend, asking him all these questions about where he was that day to try to get things to align in the way Wendy wanted, I think is, of course, problematic. You know, does it rise to the level of a charge? The charge of first-degree murder would have to mean that Wendy knew it was going to happen and provided some material aid to make sure that Dan Markell was dead and that she wanted him dead. That's a tall order. But there are also things like accessory after the fact. If you're trying to conceal a crime, that can be a crime in and of itself. And so I don't think Wendy is completely immune from any future criminal charges, and those could come down the pike based on her knowledge and the actions she took allegedly to perhaps try to cover this up or blame somebody else wrongfully.
Let's talk about that for a second, because she did have some level of immunity here. She testified under limited immunity at her mom's trial. And maybe you can help shed some light on exactly what that means. Can prosecutors still charge her with independent evidence outside of what she testified about, what others may have testified about, what her ex-boyfriend may have testified about? And does cooperation actually increase her legal exposure here?
Yeah, limited immunity is less of a protection than it might sound like, because what it means is that Wendy can't be prosecuted based on anything she said at the trial. That immunity bears no relation to what other witnesses may have said at the trial. And there were some juicy details that came out that could implicate Wendy. And so, you know, even if Wendy might think that she's home scot-free, but I don't believe that's the case. I believe there is independent evidence that can be used to be the basis for a charge, should it be sufficient, and should the prosecutors choose to go down that road.
There's a lot of the ones that stand out to me, and obviously you are the defense attorney, you are the former prosecutor. The vacation issues, where she canceled the vacation with her ex and needed to be there to pick up, make sure she could pick up the kids the following day. Their flight was going to land the day prior in the morning. There was no issue with that, but that seemed to be her reasoning to him as to why she had to be back. That day happened to be the day that Dan Markell was murdered. You also have the swimming. Dan saying, I want to see if I can take the kids to go swimming. She initially, Wendy says, no, that's not going to work. She calls Charlie goes, yeah, that might work for you. Calls her back, calls him back and says, you can take the kids to go swimming. I'm going to guess she had some knowledge that he might be dead by then, which is extremely creepy. After that call with Charlie to go and change your mind suddenly to say, oh, yeah, go ahead, take the kids swimming. The driving by, going to the liquor store, your kids, you don't know where they're at. You don't seem to show much concern about that. And after the fact, there did seem to be a lot of information floating around that family that may have led her to think, maybe my family did do this, considering she was the first one to raise their names in police questioning. Those are the ones that stand out to me. What say you?
Yeah, I think what we have here is sort of a constellation of different, very suspicious circumstances. And if the boyfriend, Wendy's boyfriend, is to be believed, that Wendy had actual knowledge that Charlie was at least considering hiring a hitman to kill Dan Markell. And so the question becomes, you know, what did Wendy do to make that easier? Did she provide some kind of aid? Did she was she involved in the discussions? You know, there were some discussions about that TV, which I think the jury believed that was code word for information regarding this hit. And Wendy's discussed that. And so, you know, where is the line? How did she cross that line in trying to make this easier and or trying to cover it up and or trying to make it happen? That's kind of the missing link, at least in terms of publicly available information that would need to be shored up before she could be charged.
Do you think we're getting close? Do you think that they're sitting there, that they're in waiting? Obviously, it took a little bit of time for Donna to be arrested after Charlie's. It took her going to the airport, trying to flee. And they said, well, we got to get her now. It's now or never. Think they're sitting there watching Wendy?
Oh, yeah. I think if they're doing their job, I think they've been surveilling Wendy since probably the very beginning and continuously in an ongoing way. And so we're talking a long time, or more than a decade. And so, yes, I think they're probably, I wouldn't be surprised if they have wiretaps on her phone or have had that in the past. And then additionally, if I was the prosecutor and I really wanted to get Wendy, what I would try to do would be to establish this alleged framing of the boyfriend and Wendy's intent to do that. If she had even if she didn't frame the boyfriend, if she had a intention to do so and perhaps had a conspiracy and agreement with one of the other Adelsons to try to accomplish that, even if the framing didn't work, that itself could be conspiracy as an accessory after the fact. It could be conspiracy to obstruct a police investigation. There are a number of options the prosecutors still have in terms of possibly viable charges.
Yeah. Stacey?
I'm wondering, like, I'm trying to figure out Wendy in this whole thing. You know, we had some people who were thinking in our chat room that Wendy was the mastermind of this. Let's just say that was what really was going on here, which I don't think it is, but some people think it is. Did they save the best for last? Do you think that that's a possibility? Like, she is the mastermind here and we're going to nail her last. We're going to get all the other pieces leading up to her. Is that a possible scenario?
It would not be unusual at all. In fact, it would be kind of consistent with how prosecutors often go about approaching a multi-defendant murder conspiracy. You try to get the predicate parts in place. You get all of your ducks in a row, and they've secured 5 convictions, or excuse me, they've convicted 5 people already. And so sometimes you secure all of those things, and then you maybe even go back to those folks and you say, hey, look, if Wendy was really behind this, and we're just talking hypothetically, I'm not claiming she is, but if she's really behind this, why don't, you know, Donna, you tell us a little bit more. Do you want to spend the rest of your life in prison for your daughter if she was really at the helm of this? Same to you, Charlie. What do you think about that? And they sort of build up to this grand finale of going after the head honcho, and wouldn't be surprised if that's the approach that they're considering, if they have that evidence and if they believe that that's what happened.
We may have a serious finale on our hands. This is just season 4. This is like Ted Lasso, man. The next season is coming.
It's coming. The teaser's already out on Netflix. The trailer's out. Donna did not testify in this. And I'm wondering if there's a reason for that. I'm wondering if her testimony, if her verbally throwing Wendy under the bus, if she were to do that, if her verbally throwing Harvey under the bus, the few that are left out here, if she is holding those cards and waiting for being behind bars in prison for a little bit, that she can raise her hand and go, oh, you want to get Wendy? I got some information for you. Kind of playing the cards that the jailhouse snitches did. Is there any room in this drama for that to happen, for Donna to try and come back with something that will give her some sort of cushion behind bars, lesser sense, something where she can play those cards at some point?
You know, I think people who have watched the trial have fairly observed that Donna, it can be rather conniving. She has some, you know, there's some machinations going on up there in terms of protecting herself and in terms of trying to get what she wants. So would it make sense for her to keep, you know, 1 or 2 cards close to the vest in the event that something goes really horrible at trial, which it has for her? Yeah, that's not surprising. And she might have more information on the inside, and that could mitigate her sentence. You'd be surprised how motivated folks can be once you're in a box with a bunch of other scary people, and how badly they want to get out.
Do you think that's going to happen? Are we thinking too much? Are we giving Donna too much credit? I mean, this is a woman who laundered money in a washing machine.
Literally.
So is she thinking that far ahead? Is she thinking that this is a great idea? Obviously, she's conniving. She's evil. She has no soul. She has no empathy for anybody other than herself. That's pretty much established. But is she wise enough to play that card down the road? Or do you think she chose not to testify for any other reasons?
You know, there are certainly other plausible explanations as to why she didn't testify. You know, we talk about the paper trail, the payments to Meg Bonua, and from the Adelson Institute when Meg Bonua wasn't working there. But lo and behold, she was the intermediary for a murder for hire plot involving the Adelson family. So, you know, it'd be hard to be peppered with questions from a seasoned prosecutor about that. There are communications between Donna and Charlie that are problematic. There is sort of coded language that it would be hard to kind of explain on the witness stand. So I think there are other plausible explanations, but also maybe she was keeping some information for herself and saying, hey, I don't want to implicate my family if I don't have to, but if I get convicted, I might have to.
Do you think they're all for themselves at this point? Is the bond broken? Just judging by the amount of throwing under the bus that seemed to happen here? Obviously, Donna didn't testify, but the throwing of the bus, you know, came in the form of, you know, her attorney, Tom Petty, throwing everybody under the bus.
Yeah. You know, certainly this family has been shattered. There's, you know, they may have been close-knit and they certainly had some success as a family, monetarily and otherwise, but now it is just in shambles. And with 2 of the main Adelsons in prison and other Adelsons potentially in the crosshairs, going to depend on what evidence there is. I'm not sure they're out, you know, looking out for one another, you know, all for one and one for all. I think it's all for me, and that's how it's going to proceed as things get even more tumultuous with these prison terms.
Yeah. The other one that you're talking about that is behind bars, the other Adelson, Charlie, he is behind bars. We were thinking maybe he'll make a surprise cameo appearance in this season of the Adelsons on trial. He did not. He stayed behind bars, never showed up. Why do you think that is?
You know, I would have to check on the exact status of his appeal. I don't remember exactly where it was at the time of the trial. If the appeal was still pending, or if he still had what's called a habeas corpus appellate attempt that can sometimes be brought after a direct appeal is denied. If he had any chance at all of a legal means of getting out of prison through the courts, then he would likely invoke his Fifth Amendment on the stand. He would likely say, hey, I can't talk about anything incriminating or that could be incriminating or ask questions that could elicit an incriminating response because I have these appeals to worry about and I've got to cover my own behind. That could have been what's going on. But he did testify in his own trial. And so there is a transcript of, you know, everything he said. So it's a little bit unclear as to why he didn't testify. It might be a Fifth Amendment thing.
Did this the trial do anything to hurt or help his appeal chances?
Oh, dear. Well, you know, kind of depends on the judge who would be hearing the appeal because, you know, one judge could look at it as, oh, my God, you helped your sister's husband get killed. And then not only that, but you involved your whole family in it. And your mother, who's like this woman who's, you know, elderly at this point, is going to have to spend the rest of her life in prison. You're a monster. On the other hand, a different judge could look at it and say, if we're talking about the total amount of responsibility in this case, we just added another person who was, you know, arguably kind of orchestrating this and really wanted it to happen. Does that diminish Charlie's responsibility? Can he argue that, hey, this was a really toxic family situation, but really my mom was more responsible than me. I'm less culpable. Can I get less time, please? I think either of those are possibilities, depending on how the appellate judge looks at it.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.